Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello and welcome to the Rugby Dungeon. Thank you for listening, thank you for subscribing, and as always, thank you for leaving me reviews on iTunes. Really is much appreciated. As always, find me on Twitter, I'm at Jay Beardmore. This podcast is at the Rugby Dungeon, and of course, as the world's biggest rugby podcast out every week without fail, every Monday, just for you guys, it's Egg Chasers Rugby Podcast. Right, I'm not going to keep you waiting much longer, but this is my interview with James O'Connor. Apologies in advance for the audio, because I decided I'd go and meet James in person rather than get him to phone in, because he's obviously here in Manchester, and we did it whilst he was doing his rehab. So you'll hear a bit of an echo, but it's well worth listening to. James is a great guy, and he's a really good interview. So without making you wait any further, here is me and James O'Connor. I'm here with probably the Premiership's biggest signing of the year, and peroxide enthusiast, James O'Connor. How are you, mate?
Very well, very well.
So this is going to be a weird podcast, so apologise for the sound, but I'm actually creepily just watching James stretch and do his rehab. What's going on there, mate? You tell me about his programme, tell me about what the issues are.
Okay, well, I actually had surgery about 5 weeks ago in France. My ankle was sort of playing up for a while, actually, when we played in Toulon versus Sale.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Bryn chopped my legs out from under me, so...
Nice guy, eh?
Yeah, exactly. So I was playing with it for a while, but at the end of the season, we ended up having a look.
Oh, look at that.
Yeah, so there's a bone spur at the back about the size of my fingernail that got chopped off, and then also one of the ligaments had to be reattached to...
I mean, obviously, people watch you play and they never see that part of you, but what is that tattoo?
Oh, this one?
Just on the ankle?
My wallaby number.
Oh, cool.
So I'm the 832nd ever wallaby.
And how many of those 832 scored a hat-trick on their debut?
I wouldn't know, to be fair.
Not done the research, eh? I'm prepared. So just run us through, like, what are you actually doing now?
Right now I'm just loosening up a little bit, so because of the surgery I haven't been able to do sort of too much on my legs, so
yeah.
I'm literally just trying to loosen up my back chain, so hamstrings, calves, get into my hips a little bit, and then after we get a little bit loose I'll get into the specific rehab for my ankle.
Cool.
So you'll see that in a sec as well.
So I'm just going to nip on. Do you mind if I pick up your rehab thing?
Yeah, all good.
So it's pretty intensive.
I was very impressed sort of when I came over here. Coming from, I guess, France, it's when you're playing, there's all eyes on you, but when you're not, it's sort of you're left to your own sort of rehabilitation. Whereas here I've been physio twice a day. We've got, you know.
You won't get twice a day physio in too long.
Well, the squad's about 50 players.
Is there?
Probably more. If you include the Esquires, it's a big squad, so it's quite a free-for-all.
It's quite a small expenditure, isn't it, for your big players, just to keep them serviceable?
It's tough, because a lot of the guys sort of at Toulon are established players. They've played for international rugby, and they're at that age where, you know, your body can break down a little bit more often, so that's why they have a few more players.
Yeah.
In saying that, if I was owning the club, I'd have a couple more physios just for man hours, like soft tissue work, that sort of stuff players can't do themselves. Obviously, you can stretch at night and do triggers, but it's like having some prize racehorses, but not looking after them.
buying the Formula One car, but not the pit crew.
Exactly.
So tell me about Titan Toulon. How much different is it, for instance, just the facilities here compared to what you're used to in the south of France?
I've found sort of everywhere I've been, not so much, I guess, the facilities here are pretty good for me, as long as the gym's in a, like what you've seen, our gym's pretty good. It's got all the main lifting sort of machines you need, and then this upstairs part is big for me. A lot of my sort of extras I do to do with flexibility, because I find flexibility creates that extra bit of speed.
That's a good point, actually, because you do see a lot of players look for strength. It's a big, you know, man ego thing. You don't hear many players talking about flexibility.
Well, I think that's what I try to sort of bring into my, not into my repertoire, but work sort of closely with a couple of top performance sort of athletes. It's more changing myself from being a rugby player to becoming, you know, an athlete again. So it's not just, a lot of the work I'm doing is, like, you talk about plyometrics, like explosive power, but it's all about sort of, you know, putting the angle of my body forward. So, you know, I'm working on that. I guess I could, how do I put this? I've been speaking French too long. My English isn't very good. Like I said, it's all about just making sure everything's, you know, in alignment. So your biomechanics are all, like, everything's working for you to be able to move, like, in a perfect sort of straight line, or the angles you're taking. It's all your muscles and the angles that you're working on are working for you.
Do you think when you play high-level sports, and for high-level sports people in general, they kind of lose sight of the importance of being a pure athlete and look too much at the sports-specific movements?
Very much so. I guess, well, when you're younger and you're sort of, you're working on all those little things to become, you know, faster. You're always working on those individual things, but when you get into a sort of a professional environment, a lot of the time your gym program's written out for you. Like, every sort of part of your day is pretty much calculated, so if you want to work on those extra little things, you're going to have to do that in your own time. So for a lot of guys, it's, you know, instead of when you're at home, they want to go home, maybe watch TV, or they want to unwind or whatever. Yeah. That's sort of when I'll...
So you're not going home to play Call of Duty, though?
No, I stopped playing. The missus doesn't let me play PlayStation. But I was never Call of Duty, I was FIFA.
Of course you were.
If I'm hanging out with the boys, we'll still get involved, but I've set up a nice little corner in my house, and sort of everywhere I go, I'll set up a little man cave where I've got, you know, my pillows on the floor and my rehab machines.
So this is clearly something which you do a lot on your own accord anyway.
Yeah, definitely. I brought sort of that into sort of my repertoire. For me, it's as important as doing, you know, gym and doing, you know, training on the field. You learn so much about your body and exactly, you know, what works for you, and also what keeps you on the field.
Now, which part of Australia are you originally from?
I'm from the Gold Coast.
Now, that already sounds quite sunny.
Yeah, it's beautiful. It's a beautiful spot. It's, you know, have you heard of Surfers Paradise?
No, but yeah, I can tell by the name. It's not
Surfers
a bad place.
Paradise, exactly. So I think in winter it's still above 20 degrees. So, yeah, beautiful spot. That's where I call home.
So, yeah, I get Toulon. Yeah, I get the fact that it's in the south of France, and that's a pretty nice spot as well. But we're in Manchester. So what made you sign here? I mean, look at this. This is midsummer. What do you reckon it is? 16?
Yeah, about 16, 17.
16, 17?
Well, there's been, to be fair, there's actually been a couple of really nice days since I've been here. But, look, for me, it's not so much about, I guess, well, obviously you want to live in a good spot.
Yeah.
If you're not happy at home, then, you know, it sort of will tend to affect your rugby. But I enjoy actually moving around a little bit. I've had the extremity of living in Toulon, where it's very, very relaxed. The French culture is quite, in more than one word, it's quite slow.
Yeah.
Like, which I really enjoyed. It was good to really throw myself into that and just become part of that sort of culture. But in saying that as well, already I've seen the Manchester's, it's not as lively as London, but I've found...
It's pretty good, you know. It gets, I mean,
we'll talk about it later. Yeah.
Well, when I say as I prefer, I'm not a big city guy.
Are you not?
Nah, I prefer it to a little bit more slower, where people actually have time to chat to each other and actually have a genuine interest instead of just on their way to work nine to seven, and that's
really
their
interesting,
life.
Because, like, Toulon, you said, it's like very relaxed, but do you not find it quite insular? Because you're a man of quite substantial fame there.
I lived outside of Toulon, so I lived in Carcaron. It's sort of like pretty much similar to the Gold Coast. It's on the beach. There's nice little mountain hikes, and although I did find it's a rugby crazy city, but. Everyone gives you your space, and they're just genuinely, I found, probably the best supporters I've ever been involved with. They genuinely care for you, not just rugby-wise, but how you're doing off the field, and, I've got a lot of time for them.
Okay, so did you find any of the pressure of being in, what was effectively the world's top club, did you find it in any way comparable to your experience with the Wallabies?
Completely different rugby. When I first moved to Toulon, obviously I wanted to make an impact straight away and earn my spot on the starting team, which was the pressure you put on is always from yourself. I came into a team where Johnny had just retired and they'd won every championship under the sun. But for me it was more sort of exciting to be able to learn from these players. I went to Toulon when I was 23, and I still had a lot to learn in rugby. Obviously, I was still fresh, and I still do have a lot to learn in rugby. But I found that it was a good growing experience.
I bet, actually, because you're working with two of the all-time greats, aren't you? Yeah, Johnny and
Michelak as well.
Oh, of course, yeah. Was Nando's there at some point?
Yeah, but he was the one, he took my medical joker when I went back to Australia.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
I see. Yeah, I mean, you've got some pretty good role models there.
Yeah, exactly. Some of the best in the world, for sure. I played with Matt for many years, and I think he's the best player I've played with. And then he's being coached by Johnny. He's on a different level.
He is, isn't he?
He's, the way his mind works and the way he breaks the game down, just technically, he's fucking unbelievable.
Do you know what the best thing about Matt Gitto is?
What?
His Eddie Jones impression is spot on.
Oh, you haven't seen half of them. It's great.
To interview Matt, and it does sound like they have a pretty decent time there.
Yeah, well, I had a great time. It was quite different in terms of what I've been used to in another sort of rugby outfit. Everyone's literally, apart from the French guys, but even the French guys have moved to Toulon to play rugby. So everyone's it's a home away from home, I guess, and also. The average age in the squad was about 32.
Yeah.
So everyone's a little bit more settled, and so for me, training times are a lot shorter, so there was just so much time to yourself to be able to, I guess, learn what I actually enjoyed,
How was last year? What was last year in Toulon like? Because you went...
Oh, tough.
Yeah, I guess you started with Dominguez. Did he even show up in the end? I'm not even sure.
No, he did, but I think he lost the first couple of games. We didn't click as they would have hoped, and got the flick.
Yeah, and then you've got Mike Ford coming in, then last of all Cockrell. How were all those guys, how did they all contrast?
It's tough because we didn't really get enough time. It's obviously tough for the coaches because you're put into a squad where they've played the same sort of rugby underneath Bernard Laporte, and when you lose a couple of key players, you can really throw the team out. As much as Toulon's got some genuine superstars, there's a few guys in the team that actually hold it together.
Yeah.
As with any other team.
Do you think Toulon got a little bit lucky in some ways that they had such strong personalities early doors? People like Johnny, people like Matt, who actually did do that exact job, which is hold it together.
Oh, yeah, massively. I think from being involved in that, the players definitely ran the club. The first time where I've heard about it in rugby league, and I've heard the Melbourne Storm, and I guess I haven't really been involved in a club where players sort of controlled all the decisions on and off the field. They set the standards, they organised training, and then there was...
That is quite remarkable when you actually think it through.
Yeah, but then as well when you think it through, when you've got guys like Buckies and Johnny, and these guys have played, you know, 100 games for the country, and they've been there, they've done that, they know how to win. They're pretty much, if you're going to be coached by anyone, I want to be coached by these guys because they're just fresh from the game.
Yeah.
And they're some of the best players ever.
So yeah, it's a good point, actually.
If they're invested in terms of they want to win, it's pretty unstoppable.
Now, when I saw you play last, I'm pretty sure you had 15 on your back. I think it was one of the European games prior to Sale.
Well, I played in the final at 15 as well.
Is that your ambition to carry on at 15 here? I mean, what are we looking at?
You have to speak to Dan, but...
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
I think actually got that. It's going to be a four-point roll. So around, you see how I've got 10?
Yeah.
But I'm comfortable with 10, 12, 15. That's sort of the positions that I want to see myself going forward. But one of the main reasons coming here was... seeing how well the guys did against the boys playing with someone.
Yeah.
The boys here. Yeah,
they put on a real show.
We just, some fact that the boys just got to the end of the day and, you know, we closed the game out, luckily enough. But the style of attack, I can already see from what Deekson's doing, it's so interesting.
Are you, I mean, obviously, in Australia, I think it's mandatory that you've got to watch some rugby league, right?
Well, I saw the rugby union my last year of high school. So I was some Parramatta Eels from the age of 11.
Is that right? I did not know that. So why did you make that switch?
I don't actually know. Like, I was going to school on the Gold Coast, mm-hmm. and then I just sort of wanted to. I don't know. I went to my dad's a union guy. My older brother was playing union as well. He made the swap. Like, why don't you just have a try, see if you enjoy it. So I played in one tournament and then ended up loving it, just how much more space there was. And then a big school in Brisbane scouted me and I thought, you know, I get to move out of home at 16, why not give it a try?
That's great. So you were 16 when you got scouted for the union, but from what I remember, didn't you make your debut at 17?
Yes. That's a year later, I played my first game.
That's absolutely incredible. So coming over here then, did the rugby league element, was that quite attractive?
Do you want to jump outside and see Dan's?
Yeah. Oh, you want me on the field?
You're a man of the man.
Keep going. No, we can pause it. You want to walk and talk?
Because James has got to go out and do his superstar stuff. And then, if you want to, shall we go and do a bit of commentary on what the lads are doing outside?
Yeah, that's right.
So,
okay, so a quick break now because James has got to go outside, shake hands with people, meet all the sponsors, do a Q&A, and then we were going to watch the guys do training and James was going to commentate on it, as in tell us what they're doing, just get a bit more of an understanding about how the coaches play the game, that kind of thing. Unfortunately, being Manchester, it was incredibly windy. And being me, being disorganised, I hadn't bought any of the correct equipment to record in wind. So we had to go back to the gym. This wouldn't be a problem, except for Sam Tuitupo and Johnny Leota were busy playing extremely loud music downstairs. So, yeah, if you want to tell Sam Tuitupo and Johnny Leota to stop playing music, well, that will be your business, but certainly me and James did not fancy it. So back to the gym we went, and this is part two of our chat. Tried to go outside, but wind's pretty intense. So you did your superstar stuff with Dimes, and now we're back doing more rehab.
Yep.
Yeah, for the fun stuff.
Do you reckon that your profile is going to, all your time is going to be more in demand here than it was in France? Because, I mean, yes, we're in sale, but we've just walked across there and you've been, approached, what, two or three times?
Yeah, I'm not sure, to be fair. Like France was, especially Toulon, was pretty, you know, rugby intense. It was pretty incredible, whereas I found sort of, well, what I've been told here is, you know, it's football central.
Massively.
So I think we had to fly under the radar a bit.
What was it like when you're 17, getting called up to the Wallabies? That must have been massively intense in terms of just people wanting your time.
I actually didn't believe it when I first got told, so I was celebrating, I think it was my brother's birthday. I was on an island just off the Gold Coast, an island with all my mates who were sort of, we'd been there, we were staying there for the week, just drinking and having fun, and like, yeah, the reception's not so great over there, so I had all these missed calls and whatnot from my dad and from so many different numbers, and then one of my friends was like, oh, you've been named in the Wallaby squad. I was like, yeah, whatever. And then he's like, no, you have to go back to the island. And I thought they were just taking the piss.
That's amazing, isn't it?
And out of nowhere, my dad gave me a call and he's like, mate, get on the next bar now.
In terms of your Wallabies career, it was very odd because you're always the guy that performed. Like, you always knew that James O'Connor would do something good. Did the switch to 10 throw you off a bit?
I've always enjoyed playing 10. I got one crack at playing 10 against the Lions. And
it's a hell of a crack, though, isn't it?
Well, what was tough was we had no games before. Like, the Lions got to play in six or seven games. We went straight from Super Rugby. It was the first time I'd played with any of the Wallaby players at 10. And it was a completely new game structure for me as well. So we had planned to attack more of 12.
Yeah.
And then Christian Leifano got knocked down the first minute, so our whole game plan...
Of course he did, yeah. Didn't you have Hooper at 12 at some point?
Yeah. So as much as... Like, it was still a really good experience. I think, obviously, if I did it now, I'd be a bit more suited to it. It was definitely tough because, you know, you've got your couch critics who are saying, oh, they've got no idea about the ins and outs of what actually happened with that tour.
Yeah.
So maybe hindsight, maybe someone who played in the team like Quade might have done a better job playing at 10.
Quade wasn't even in the picture at that point, was he?
No, he wasn't.
I mean, I can't actually remember the history of why he wasn't or why he was. Did he just not get on with Robbie Dean?
Well, Robbie brought him to the system. I'm not too sure. I had a good Super Rugby season at 10.
Mm-hmm.
Played the whole Super at 10 before the Lions. And I think he just wanted someone who was going to tackle and shift the ball and needed to go to the line, which we put ourselves in the right position. If, you know, Curtly slipped over to miss that kick.
Oh, God, yeah, to win
and
the first test.
Christian was our kicker. He's kicking at 92% and he got knocked down.
Tell you what, sorry to interrupt you there, but incredible watching Christian come on this morning. Did you see that?
No.
He played today.
Did he?
Yeah, he's back.
Did you?
Yeah.
It's incredible.
Yeah, he replaced... what's his name? Dag something. 10 for the Grumbies.
He's playing 10 for them now. Jeez, I'm so far behind the Super. Who's playing 10?
If I say the name that I think in my head, and it sounds stupid on tape, so I'm not going to say it. I'm sure it's saying like Dag something. Dag. Daggerville or something like that.
Well, it might be. I don't know.
No, definitely not him. And if he's listening to this, he's going to be devastated.
The last ten I played against was Christian.
Of course, and you'll be catching up with him when you play against Leicester. So that'll be pretty cool.
Yeah,
it
will be.
No, you were at the Force, yeah?
Yeah.
Did you get caught up with all of the $1 million contract stuff and fire pellets?
Actually, I came the year after. So luckily I missed all that firepower stuff, but I know all about it.
Yeah, I mean, obviously it's great that you missed it, but shame because it makes a great story.
Yeah. Apparently a few of the guys saw him floating around back in Europe.
Oh, did they?
So I don't know what happened after that. We'll leave that off the tape.
Yeah. Bloody hell.
Say yo to a lot of guys, a lot of money, and also the whole situation around that.
Do you regret how you left it with the Australian national team?
I think it was just time for me to move on. And to be fair, like at this stage of my life, I was just spinning my wheels. I was I'd come out of sort of school and shown to professional environment. But I didn't know anything else apart from rugby. My whole identity was rugby. You know?
So, do you feel that you're a bit of a broader person than for leaving Australia?
Massively. You learn. I had to leave my comfort zone for one, but you know, I love rugby. Rugby's, you know, my passion, but it's not who I am.
Yeah.
And it took me a while to realise that.
Can you ever see a situation that, like, if it goes well here at Sale and you do things, that you could go back to Australia and have another crack at the national team?
Yeah, because that's a plan. So,
is it? Is that actually what you're thinking at the moment?
So that was a communication first with Dime. He's like, I want to get you back into that Australian team. And
I'm sure he doesn't mean that.
That's what I mean. If he gets me back on that team, it just proves how well their sort of coaching structure is and what the guys can do here.
What age were you when you went to London Irish?
24.
So if you're 24, you've already had 7 years of international rugby in Australia. I mean, it does sound like you left really early, but if you think about it, you know, that for some lads is an entire career.
Yeah. So, to be honest, like, I want to be playing for the Wallabies again. I've said that many times. I've made many mistakes that have sort of stopped that from happening. A couple injuries along the way as well didn't happen. But I guess I'm sort of... I don't really need to talk too much anymore about, you know, my aspirations, this and that. I think people just want to see me playing you know, consistently, which a big part of me leaving Toulon was to be able to play one position consistently. So I think the stage, maybe... I think within 3 weeks at the start of the last season, I played 10, 12, both sides of the wing, 13, not 15, and then I played 15, I think, 3 weeks later.
Wow. I mean, that happens to so many players who just happen to be... I mean, you look at a guy... do you know Henry Slade?
Yeah.
I mean, you look at him, he's an incredibly talented player, but he might actually be too talented for his own good.
Yeah.
Because they do the same with him. It's like 10 one week, 12 the other week, 13 fullback.
It was great for me when I first started out, because it's what gets you picked in teams, you know?
Yeah.
You're versatile. That might get you on the bench instead of someone else. But when you want to, you know, just... When you want to, I guess, nail down a position, and everyone's always got aspirations to be the best player they can be.
Mm.
And when you're trying to achieve that, and then you're moving every week in, week out, you know, you're a jack of all trades.
Yeah, and I do think, like, the more rugby gets professional, the more specialist that these particular positions are.
Oh, they're very, very specific now. I think gone are the days where sort of you can just play your style of rugby wherever you go on the field. Nowadays it's very sort of very structured.
Mm. So we're currently in a time of the season where everyone's really, really optimistic because everyone's fit or they're getting fit, and in 6 weeks' time you're going to have a full squad to pick from. How does this squad, from what you've seen so far, match up compared to some of your others?
some of my others, like squad wise.
Yeah, Toulon, London Irish, Force.
I think it's like you're always going to have, especially over here as well, you're always going to have some decent depth. I think it's more like the guys in the fringe being out there. So everyone's in every team you're in, there's always, you got, you know, your leaders, your chiefs, and then you got your Indians as well, you know, your followers. But it's the guys on the fringe who make the difference. If they can be connected, because if you might lose, just say, you know, we lose Bryn, so our line out, you know, falls apart. If we can, if there's someone on the fringe there who can just slot straight in, that makes it, that's win or lose a game. So from what I've seen so far, obviously it's different when you're training. It's hard for me to get a real gauge on the team without. I'm a very kinesthetic sort of learner. Mm. I need to be involved with the boys and feel sort of the energy and feel the structures. I don't really like to just come in and be like, oh, do this or run this line. It's not really my place, and I have to earn that spot in the team and whatnot. But from what I've seen, it's positive rugby, and we're definitely trying to create and do something that hasn't been done before.
Which of the lads who, particularly the younger lads, say myself, because I think they are, you know, real talented players, which of the boys have impressed you so far?
It's hard to sort of to pull, you know, anyone out sort of individually. Will's been good, AJ.
Will, I don't know if you've seen this in training, but Will Addison plays like he's trying to win a Victoria Cross rather than he's trying to win a rugby game.
Oh, yeah.
If you watch him play.
Yeah, the way he carries the ball to the line pretty well.
Yeah, he's an absolute savage. But the one for me, I think, is an incredibly talented player, is Sam James. I don't know if he's even back yet.
He literally just got back. He hasn't trained yet, though.
Quality.
Yeah?
Real quality. But anyway, I'm not going to go through the whole sale team and give you a scouting report because you're busy being a diligent professional. So best of luck for the rest of the season. I'll be tracking your progress very keenly. And thank you very much for giving me your time.
No, my pleasure, man. My pleasure.
Cheers, mate.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.